We serve a living and loving God, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
It's an awesome thing and a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when He quits being just a Christian religious God and a living God to you, you realize that He holds your very breath in His hands. And it's an awesome thing to humble yourself in the sight of God and to honor Him with all your being. Just fall madly in love with Him.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
A soft answer. That's the interesting subject of our studies today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. In our text, we're told that our prayers are a delight to God. Conversely, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Are there things in our lives that are an abomination to Him? God wants to loose us from the captivity of sin and set our course on the narrow path. Listen carefully to the principles Mike brings out of these passages in Proverbs, and you'll surely recognize applications we can make to learn to live better lives with those around us. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs and listen to Mike McIntosh.
So they went, and the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, there's a check mark. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit, but He's invisible. That's right. But people can be stopped by Him. Right? That's right. People can know when He's stopping them. That's right. See, the Holy Spirit could go, well, you don't want to do this. And you know, you walk right up to it, and He's got His hand there. You say, but I want to do this. And He says, no, don't do it. But your free will, moral character. And you say, step aside, Mr. HS, and you go on your way. And then you get in big trouble, and you reap what you sow. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. He's with all of us. And He can say stop, or He can say go. The door is wide open. And He is here to minister to you and to help you understand the Lord's will for your particular situation in your own life. So the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia. For whatever reason, the gospel was not supposed to go to Asia at that time. Instead, it goes left, makes a left turn that goes to Europe. And as it goes from Europe, it launches to the British Isles. And from the British Isles and religious persecution, a group of people called the Pilgrims got on the Mayflower and came to what is now the United States of America. And before they ever got off of that ship, they rode out and pledged to one another the Mayflower Compact. It was agreement that when they get on shore, that everyone will bow their knees to the Lord God of heaven and earth of the Bible, and that He would have control over this new country that they're going to. So they get to the country, and then it moves, and then Methodists grow up, and John Wesley comes, and George Whitefield, and Jonathan Edwards, and Yale, and Princeton, and Harvard grow up, and their schools to start training ministers to be pastors and go to the ministry, and then the people start moving to the West, and the fiery evangelists start going, and they start planting churches, and then it comes to the West Coast, and now it's going around the world, and it's going to Asia. So we've got a little jump start in history with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Scriptures, and with the Holy God. It is interesting that there is a back to Jerusalem movement from Asia that is taking place now, from Japan, the Philippines, Korea, Singapore, and China. That they are all evangelizing Asia, going back to Jerusalem, and they feel that by the time they have all reached the people of Asia and get to Jerusalem, Jesus will come back. So here they are doing, while we sit here, what Paul was doing with young Timothy, and the Holy Spirit didn't let him go to Asia. And I think this, that Asia is the last battlefield for the gospel. And it is true that Europe has become a post-Christian era, and the lights are going out in the United States, and we are getting close to being a post-Christian era. And the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully through Asia, and God is going to do a special work. He saved the best wine for last. And only God knew that the majority of the world's population would be on that side of the planet and not this side of the planet. And it would take the evangelism from Jerusalem through Europe to the British Isles to the United States, North America, Central America, South America, to get all these people from the centuries that know Jesus to start the evangelism, to go as missionaries to Asia, that now Asia is a church unto itself and strong to move through its own portion of the world and to bring an awareness of Jesus Christ. You live in phenomenal times right now. There isn't anything that you can't do by faith in Jesus Christ. There isn't any place on the face of the earth that you couldn't go tonight and see God do some miraculous thing. It just didn't happen here in the book of Acts, but you got a little check mark here. The Holy Spirit said no. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. What? What a bummer this Spirit is. He's always not letting you have any fun. No, but he was wise. The Holy Spirit knows God's will. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul. Oop, there's another check mark. Some action. A vision. Have you ever had a vision? I'm not talking about pepperoni pizza vision in the middle of the night, or, you know, Starbucks vision. You can get those all day. But a vision appeared to Paul in the night. It was a man of Macedonia. You know, Bosnia, Serbia, that Croatia, that area. A man from Macedonia stood and pledged with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, maybe there's a tug on your heart that you've always felt called. You always wanted to go help this special people. And you just don't know if it's God or not. Yes, it's Hawaii. And you just feel a little bit guilty that it's Hawaii. But you still have this call. So the man says, come over and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. And there we went to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. It's a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. They found out where the prayer meetings were. And customarily, along the river, they knew that if they'd go in the daytime, there would be people having open-air prayer meetings. And that God was honoring this. So they wanted to find out where the Christians were. So they went to where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. And a certain woman whose name was Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. So purple is a sign of royalty. So she was probably a wealthy woman, and she sold this valuable material to the wealthy people of the city. But she worshipped God. Underline that. She's a businesswoman who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to listen, to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay here. So she persuaded us. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. When you get involved with the Ouija boards and tarot cards and palm reading and mysticism, you're involved with demon spirits. It's that simple. They control these people. Some of these people that get the old glass onion out and they put you into a seance or whatever, these people have been possessed since they were little boys and little girls. And the demon knows how to control them and how to speak. And the demon knows something about you more than likely, because you probably had a buddy demon that said, bring her on in here to get her hand read today and tell the story. This isn't right. This isn't good. This is drawing you close to hell. And they would give you a story that have a little bit of truth in it, but enough to keep you going, so you'd always look to the darker side for truth instead of looking to the light where God is and getting real truth, and they can lead you astray forever. So here's this young woman. Not only is she a slave to the devil, she's a slave to her life by this demon spirit that's possessing her. She has no freedom. And Paul says that the menace, who she made a lot of money by fortune-telling to her masters. So this girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Tell them the truth. And this she did for many days. Hey, these are the guys telling us the way for eternal salvation. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the girl, but to the Spirit. Now, this is something to be serious about for a moment, because you may know someone that you've always felt there's something different about them. And sometimes they can just blow up and get into a rage, or they get a little distant and they get spooky. They may have a spirit living inside of them that is controlling them. Paul got annoyed by this. He didn't need some demon spirit to be saying that he's bringing the gospel of salvation. So Paul isn't upset with the young, beautiful servant girl. He's going to deal with the demon spirit directly. And notice how it's worded here in the Bible. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, would you read this out loud with me? I command you in the name of to come out of her. You see, Jesus said that you shall cast out demons in my name. And so Paul didn't say, hey, I'm an apostle, come out of here. Hey, in the name of the Pope, come out of here. No, he said, the name of Jesus Christ. You get out of this woman's life once and for all. And you may know people, or even family members, that have a spirit in them, and they've never had any hope. Sometimes it's people with deep depression, or they try to cover this up. I remember in one interview with John Lennon, the day that he was shot, actually, the interviewer said to him, how is it that you play such great music? And John was just his happy-go-lucky self, and then all of a sudden, his voice changed, and he said, the demon of rock and roll comes over me. And then he went back, and he was John Lennon again. And I said, whoa, probably the truth. You know, there's a lot of things we watch on television that God didn't design, and people that we admire and we follow from the world. But what spirit has been in them? Has the spirit of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, inspired them to give you the storyline and the entertainment vibe? Or has it been a demon spirit? Is it a demon spirit that leads you around? But Paul looks at her and says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, and that's the way it is in the world, no matter if a little girl's life is destroyed, if somebody makes some money off her, they're going to sure try to do it. Paul wasn't putting up with that, and the gospel doesn't put up with that. He came out that very hour, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They're disrupting the cash flow. Do you think of any major city, of the big highlights that happen around a city? We just had 3-4 major ones. And though you look at it and say, that's a little decadent, isn't it? Why did they do that in San Diego? Why are we down here doing this in the gas lamp area? Oh, yeah, they sell a lot of liquor. Liquor makes a lot of tax money. A lot of tax money. The city makes hundreds of thousands of dollars just around Mission Beach and the roller coaster there from all those bars, just on the tax money, at the expense of drunks and crime and lives destroyed. They've disrupted our city, these people. And look what he says. They brought them to the magistrates. They heard the message. And then the multitude rose up against them together, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, and commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, let's go to verse 10 of Proverbs 15. Here we see the story of a busy couple of guys, Timothy and Paul, because God loves him who follows righteousness. And they were following righteousness, and they disrupted unrighteousness. Verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. And he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? So now that we know his eyes are everywhere, hell is in front of him. He sees everybody that's in hell and all the demons that are down there doing whatever they do to the souls that are down there. Destruction, wherever destruction is going on, anywhere around the world, God sees it. How much more my heart is open to him than those things? Because I'm created in his likeness, in his image. It's an awesome thing and a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when he quits being just a Christian religious God and a living God to you, you realize that he holds your very breath in his hands. And it's an awesome thing to humble yourself in the sight of God and to honor him with all your being. Just fall madly in love with him. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise person for help. But a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding is a person that's seeking knowledge. But the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart, he has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. So think of this. You can get the picture. Sort of like the Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. Just a run-down apartment. There's a husband and a wife. They're young. They're 22 years old. 20 years old. It's hot. It's New York City. They're in this rough part of town. They pay $300 a month for this one room with a little bathroom off the side. And all they're eating is a salad. That's all they got. It's better to be that couple that has a lot of love in the house and has just a little salad than it is to have a fatted calf and all the bling of life and all the accoutrement of wealth in their fancy dining room and to have hatred at one end of the table and at the other end of the table where the children don't listen to mom and dad and mom and dad don't listen to each other or love anybody. So you see, there's a great treasure for us to know God and to gain understanding from him what life is really about and let this phony world fade away and we commit ourselves to him, and then all of a sudden his fire comes inside of us and our priorities are changed. And now we get purpose for life. We get a reason for life. And we see all the injustices in the world. We don't complain about them. We try to do something about them. We go out and we give our time and our effort to love other people. And that's what God is sharing, that your eyes would open up and see the real treasures. Better with a little fear of the Lord than great treasure with a lot of trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred at the table. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allies contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Ouch, ooh, ah, ooh, that didn't feel good. But the way of the upright is a highway. Whoa, let's go, man. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Circle this in your own Bible. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Safety in the multitude of counsel. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, we saw this Sunday morning, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, it'll pour forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. He listens to you, and he wants to answer your prayers. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Boy, isn't it something when somebody comes and gives you a good piece of news? Wow, good news, bad news. Which do you usually like first, the bad news or the good news? You all want the bad news first. Okay, I got to tell you then. No, but good news is just, ah, man, that makes you feel so good. Bad news, please don't say stuff like that. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise, but he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now let's close as Evan gets his guitar strap on and go back to the 16th chapter of Acts as we finish off in worship. Verse 25, Acts 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're in prison. They've been arrested because they've disrupted the business. Suddenly, there's a great earthquake. so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Wouldn't you like something loosed that's been hanging you up for a long time? Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free, to open the prison doors. He wants you to be totally free, that you can worship Him and love Him and adore Him, and you can just be free to be yourself. What a wonderful thing to think that you could be tied up in prison because you've done some righteous thing, and yet at midnight you could be praising God and singing with other people. The priorities are in the right place. And then in verse 27, the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself, because Rome said if you're on guard duty and your prisoner escapes, you are executed. So he had rather kill himself. Paul cries out with a loud voice, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Now this doesn't sound right. I think if it was all of us, we'd run for it. The doors are open, let's go. He says, no, we're just praising the Lord. What's the hurry? The earthquake has come. Hey, we're here. So the guy runs in and he says, what's going on here? And he called for a light. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, sirs, would you read this out loud with me? What must I do to be saved? Well, you got to donate 10% of your paycheck every week. You've got to go on the mission field for 3 years. You've got to memorize 42 verses every month of the Bible. No. What do I have to do to be saved? What does he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only you, but your whole house is going to hold will be saved. Not that they'd be saved because he was saved, but they could be saved because he would take the gospel to them. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. It's 1 or 2 in the morning now. He immediately, he and all of his family were baptized. Man, there's action. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. As we stand to worship the Lord right now, let's bow our hearts reverently and pray for your household. Let's pray for your moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, cousins and aunts and uncles. And let's see God do a marvelous thing throughout all your families. Father God, as we stand before you right now, we realize that this story of you loving people that follow the righteous way shows us that as Paul was in the righteous way, you loved him and you delighted in his prayers. And one minute he's casting out demons. The next minute he's at a prayer meeting. The next minute he's being stopped by the Holy Spirit. The next minute he's off to Asia. He's told not to go and preach there. He ends up challenging the demon in that young girl. He stands before the magistrate, and all the time he's calm. He's a man of wisdom, guarding his lips. He's a man of righteousness, and you are delighting in him. And I'd pray for my brothers and sisters that we'd simply trust you like this man did. We'd trust you in the way that Solomon wrote about you, that we'd have the contrast. Well, we can do this, but if we do that, then we're off the path. So I pray for these men and women, that out of this group, there'd be many, many hundreds of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and family members that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ for all these families, the hundreds and hundreds of people. God, that you would intercede right now with ones that are troubled, even ones that may be possessed by a demon. For the ones that are sick or ailing, for the ones that are happy and strong, for the ones that are pursuing life and education, for those that are working hard, and those that are taking care of the home. We pray for everybody here. And as I am praying, Lord, they're praying the names. You go ahead and pray the names of your family. And we're asking that supernaturally, you would cause a great earthquake in their hearts, to shake up their hearts. You'd shake them, Lord. And that the door would fly open to their heart and they'd cry out to you, God, what must I do to be saved? And I pray for these men and women that stand here, that in the next few days you'd have prison doors fly open around them at work, at the beach, at the mall, at school, at the movies, wherever they are. And people will say, what must I do to be saved? And that you'd use these people to lead hundreds of people in San Diego to Jesus Christ by simply saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray that our lives could be a blessing to you and free in the Spirit to rejoice. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And with those words from Mike McIntosh, we come to the end of today's study of the Book of Proverbs. On our next broadcast on CNV, we'll continue our survey with the message, Taking Charge, Taking Responsibility. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMcIntosh.com and look under Know God. Join us next time as we forge ahead through our series in the Book of Proverbs with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.